Last week we looked at the intro to marriage part, right? We looked at how God created marriage between a man and a woman back whenever he created Adam and Eve, and that they became one flesh. God created Eve from Adam and designed them. You know, he needed a companion. So that was the design for marriage. And it was perfect whenever it came along, but along with like everything else in this world, sin has to go and mess it up. And we all sin, so we all make mistakes, and we see that even our marriages can be affected by sin. So when we start to look deeper into God's design for marriage, and our flaws mess it up, but we should be striving for a better marriage and striving to overcome that and love the way that Jesus loves. So I want to start off with the scripture that we ended with last week, because we're going to still be building off of this for the next few weeks. So we ended with, husbands, love your wives. This is from Ephesians 5, 25-30. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. But he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So there's several ways that we husbands can love our wives, and also that wives can love your husbands. And this week, I'm going to be covering one of those ways. And again, we're going to be building off of this. So it's called trust. Everybody heard of trust? Yeah. A little bit more difficult than what we think sometimes, though, right? So trust is something that's earned, right? And it's something that can be lost in like an instant, but it's rarely regained as quickly. And whenever I thought about that and how it can easily be lost, I remembered a story from whenever Katie was first born. I'm not going to pick on you. You were only 3 months, so I can't pick on you for this. So 3 months old, and Amber had to go do something. I can't remember what it was, but about 3 hours later, I think, whenever she returned home to me in the floor, holding my ears like this, curled up, and Katie just screaming her ears out, or her lungs out. Probably her ears, too. That's probably what kept her crying. So she's screaming. And Amber walks in and sees that, and immediately, like, trust lost, right? The last thing you want to do is walk in and see your husband in the floor with his hands and ears, ignoring your three-month-old baby. But, man, I cannot take a screaming kid. I'm sure there's no other guys that are like that, right? Everybody else loves the sound of their kids screaming? You do? Okay, so Cheeto does. So it was tough, right? And Amber didn't want to leave Katie with me for a while after that alone. Now, that's hard to imagine. So I immediately lost the trust because she came in and that's the state of things. But it took a while to build back up, and it couldn't take too long because it wasn't long after that that I was unemployed and I had to watch Katie while Amber was going and working. So it was a tough thing. But over time, it did regain. And then Amber's confident to leave kids with me. And she's even gone away for an entire weekend and left me alone with kids now that they're teenagers. So they can take care of themselves a little bit better now. So trust is like, it's a really big deal, but it's also evident in like little things, right? Trust determines whether or not you feel comfortable handing your spouse the credit card, telling your spouse a secret, or asking your spouse to run an important and time-sensitive errand. Trust shows up whenever you're husband or wife steps into disciple a child, or into discipline a child is what that should say. We've got to give and show trust to their ability to be a good parent. So finances is a big one. We're going to have a whole thing over finances, but that's like a big one for us, right? I do have a hard time handing Amber the card sometimes. It was a lot worse before, and now Amber, you know, that's one thing we had to overcome. I used to always lie to Amber, which caused more problems, and I'm maybe supposed to talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about it now, and I'll skip it later. So for a long time, I could tell Amber, we have $30 in the bank for you to go and buy groceries. And then Amber would go spend $32.53, and then I would have to pay a overdraft fee. So I would get I would get aggravated about that, and so then I start lying, right? I if we had $30 in the bank, I would tell her we only had $25, so that whenever she spent $27.53, then I would be I would still get angry though, because it's like I knew she was going to do it, but I was lying, and even though I was lying, and so it just stirred up more complications in our marriage, right? So I should have trusted her and done that, but it took a while to build up trust, and now Amber pretty much handles all of our finances, and I still get aggravated sometimes, but. Amber deals with all of that kind of stuff. So trust is something that is earned. It's something that it's hard to give out. So it shows up in a sock drawer of this empty with that has no socks in it, which happens frequently. That I open up the sock drawer where I'm trained, y'all. You know, I always say that Amber, I've got a clothes fairy in my house because my clothes magically appear on the end of the bed every morning. But it turns out Amber's the clothes fairy. But she trained me that whenever I get up and there's not clothes there, that I'm to go to the second drawer down on my dresser and there's socks in there and everything. But whenever there's not, then it's like, what am I supposed to do now? And so I just pretty much plan to go to work without clothes on. Turns out that's illegal. You can go to jail for that. So I've never done that. So, those kind of things, it can cause you to lack trust though. Whenever things are messed up and your expectations are set and your trust is there, trust can be lost really, really, really quickly. But it has to be rebuilt. So spouses need to be able to trust each other in everything, and especially with their hearts. And trustworthiness has to be earned. So trust is gained as we prove over and over and over again that we can be trusted in different areas. And after a little while being married, you'll start to see where your husband or wife excels and being trustworthy in other areas where they're very weak. So another thing where trust can happen with like little things is if your wife asks you to take out the trash and you go and you bag up the trash and you sit it down next to the trash can and you put a new liner in there and then she shows up later and the trash is still there next to the trash can, then she's going to have you come and take it out. Well, after a few times of that, she's going to lose trust in you and being able to take out the trash. So then she's going to ask you to take out the trash, and what are you ladies going to do at that point? Oh, I don't know, that's how it works. Oh. So she's going to stand over you after she tells you to take out the trash, right? Because she didn't think you're going to take it out to the trash can. So then what's the usual reaction to that? We're going to get aggravated, a little bit irritated that she doesn't think we can do it. But really, we're the ones that lost the trust. It was our fault, so we have to make sure that we take the trash out of there, put in the new liner, and carry the trash out to the trash can and put it out by the road or whatever, that we're going to follow through with that. And over time, we'll regain that trust, and our wives will trust that we're going to take the garbage all the way out until we give them reason to lose trust again. So a very serious problem can creep up into marriages where it's a problem with distrust, and it can happen for a variety of reasons, like physical reasons, like the trash can. It can be some kind of spiritual reasons that distrust can form. And for all the physical reasons, it can happen for things like, you know, being lazy. It can come from being hot-headed. Like a lot of times whenever couples first get together, you see this, they're young, you know, 18, 19, and the guy can be really hot-headed, and he goes into his job and just quits his job and then goes out looking for another job and then quits that one the first time that he gets mad. And it's like an unwise thing. So the spouse, the wife, can lose trust that he's going to keep a job and be able to provide for their family. And it becomes even more scary whenever there's a child involved in that's going on, because she thinks that they're not going to be able to take care of their family. So it's important that we protect our wives' heart by being faithful in our jobs and not being hot-headed and so quick to make rash decisions. A lot of those things are spiritual things going on. So it can come from not feeling like physical protection or emotional protection. If your wife doesn't feel like you're going to protect her if she's in danger, then that can cause some trust issues. She's not going to trust that you can protect her or your children. So that's one way. Emotional protection. If they don't feel like you're going to protect their heart and their emotions, then they're going to feel vulnerable in that as well. Trust can also be lost from some kind of abuse. It can be lost from things like pornography and flirting with other people or worse things than that. So one of the things that I think of, and I don't know if I have that in there. Yeah, it's got to be in there somewhere because Amber brought it up this morning. So I know that it's in there. No, I didn't. I'm going to. So, flirting with people. So, you see often, and I remember seeing, actually, someone comes to mind, I'm not going to mention their name, that whenever I have gone out to dinner with him and his wife, he's very flirtatious with waitresses. That's just the way that he is and what he does, and it can be awkward at sometimes whenever that's happening, and he will do it right in front of her. And so it builds this distrust there of him being out in public and being flirtatious with someone else. So that can cause some trust issues, right? And I know that there's nobody in here today that's flirty with waitresses. So whenever there's this distrust in a marriage, there's like a lot of things that can creep up, and then it starts speaking into that distrust and causing even more problems. So if you don't trust your wife with your children to be alone, you're not going to trust them to discipline them properly and things like that. So it can just start to turn into this bigger and bigger problem. And next thing you know, you're into a whole world of mess where your wife's heart has been that's so vulnerable is taken away, or your husband's heart. It's either way. Whenever you get married, you have this, you're saying to your spouse before God, before your friends and family, everyone present, that I'm giving you my heart. Please take care of that, because this is very vulnerable. And whenever we're dating, you know, it's, you know, you see that all the time. I just cannot wait to give you my heart. It's going to be so great on that day. And then whenever you actually get that heart, sometimes, at least us as guys, we take that precious heart of our spouse and we put it in our pocket, and it's safe there. But then, I don't know if any of you guys have ever cracked your phone screen that's in your pocket by bumping up against something or something like that, but I've definitely done that. Or you put it in your back pocket and you sit down on that and break your phone. The same thing can happen with the heart, right? It's not really protected there. You're not holding this vulnerable heart in your hand anymore. It's unprotected in your pocket somewhere. And that can happen right after you get married, and we forget about that, that heart being there. So, There's all these things that can creep up and cause distrust whenever you're not taking care of their heart properly. Something that's a big thing these days, I started reading up, like, what's one of the big causes these days of divorces? A big cause of divorce is Facebook and other social medias. Do you guys know why that is? Amber's none. So the reason why that can happen is Facebook is a big social media site, and you have all these friends, and sometimes you can bring up old loves on Facebook and start chatting about old times, and then things, what could be, and all these different things can start to happen. And next thing you know, you have given a little piece of your heart to someone that it shouldn't belong to, because it should belong to your spouse. So Facebook can be destructive to a marriage because of the things that can happen. You start building this relationship that just isn't shouldn't be part of your marriage. So I had a friend who, he caught his girlfriend that he was living with and had two children with. He found out that she was chatting on an online game, and that she was giving away parts of her heart. This person was having a conversation that they shouldn't have been having. And so next thing you know, he decides that the right thing to do in that situation was to create a bunch of fake email accounts for a girl and a bunch of fake chats. And then he starts chatting back and forth with himself with inappropriate conversations and leaves that on his computer screen for her to find. And then she comes and she finds this conversation, and those two didn't last very long after that. Fortunately, now the same guy is in a very good relationship, and they had a baby recently, but that old relationship didn't work out because he handled things improperly and didn't do things the way that he should have. So our spouse needs to be our safe place. Our spouse needs to be the one that we can hand our heart, our vulnerable heart, and be vulnerable with and share everything with and trust that they're going to take care of that. And so it hurts whenever our vulnerable heart gets hurt somehow with a thing like that, and whenever you can't have trust in the relationship. And whenever we promise that we're going to be partners and companions for life until death do us part, we're agreeing with that person that we're going to get through these different things and that we're going to trust them even whenever there's problems in marriage. And if we do trust people, and that's rooted from the love that we get from Jesus Christ, if we do that, then it's going to make our marriages stronger. I can guarantee that. So whenever we see that, we can see that trust in a relationship is very, very important. So what if we have lost trust in some area or more than one area in the past, and how do we regain trust again? And I believe that there's two sides to that. There's the forgiver and there's the forgivee, right? The truster and the trustee, where you've lost that. So there's the side over here that's I'm going to say me, even though I never get in trouble for taking out the trash. Me, I'm over here and I'm not taking out the trash like I'm supposed to. And so Amber sees that the trash isn't taken out, so she loses trust in me. So she's lost the trust and I've lost her trust. So there's two different sides of the coin whenever we start figuring out how we can regain trust again. First and foremost, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is forgiveness. We have to be able to forgive. It's a tough pill to swallow whenever we need to forgive, but it's a necessary one to move forward in rebuilding trust. And we need forgiveness from God, we need forgiveness from our partner, and we also need to forgive ourselves. And once we have that forgiveness, we still have been hurt, like our heart has still been hurt, so it's still vulnerable. So we need to learn to trust again, and that's on us. But the partner also needs to understand that trust is earned. So forgiving someone also means that you're not going to continue to bring up all the past behavior and use it against someone. You won't necessarily forget it, but you won't hold it against them and use it as a weapon against them while they're trying to grow and change and do differently, start to take out the trash like what they're supposed to. And changing and growing does take time, and it requires like many instances of a new habit to build up trust and show true change. So both parties have to be patient and understanding while that trust is being rebuilt. And a specific example of that, where I'm holding Amber's heart and I'm still vulnerable and I'm supposed to be taking care of it, is for years I was the stage manager at The Promise. And so I was on the headsets all night long, and I not only called all the cues for the show of sets and lights and all that kind of thing. The other thing that I was really good at is making fun of actors. So we spent a lot of time on the headsets making fun of all the actors. And there was no one that was excluded from this, including my wife, where it turns out that she should have been. So I'm making fun of people, and one of the people was Amber. And I don't remember how the conversation came up. I was probably talking about poking fun at someone on the stage. And then Amber probably said, "You don't make fun of me, do you?" And me, being the way that I am, said, "Yes, I do." And told her what I made fun of her for, and everyone else laughed. And every night we'd be like, "Okay, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it." And there it is. And she would do what she was doing. And I told her about that. And so she got very angry with me. And she told me this morning that she thought that she even stopped talking to me for several days, which I don't remember that part, but very possible. And then even the director said something to her that she wasn't doing the role correctly anymore, but she didn't want to do it because she didn't want me and the people on the headsets making fun of her. So it took a while to rebuild her trust, and I was not allowed to make fun of her on the headsets anymore. So I don't know that I've done all of that in that area, that I have completely rebuilt trust, because I still can poke some fun, but I have to be very careful not to poke fun at her, at least in front of her where she's going to hear about it. So I have learned that. So it wasn't, and the intent was never, ever, ever to hurt Amber. It was intended to be fun, but I've learned that women and men accept joking like completely and totally different. Like guys, we're always poking fun at each other, but as soon as you start poking fun at a girl, then feelings start to get hurt, and it's a tough thing, so we have to work on that. Guys always have to work on that. So I wasn't able to get mad at her because it was me that needed to rebuild her trust, right? I was the one that was poking fun of her, so I had to rebuild that trust and promise that I wouldn't make fun of her anymore and that sort of thing while she was on stage. And that's just one example. Throughout our almost 19 years of marriage, there has been several instances where I was poking fun at Amber and ended up hurting feelings, and it wasn't my intent. So How long will it take before I'm able to hold her heart again, and how vulnerable it is? And that just, it depends on the person and where they're at. But we have to remember, whenever we're on this side and we're the one that hurt the feelings, we have to be extremely patient with that person while we're regaining their trust. So it's a tough thing. I had to be patient while I could be apologetic and try to be sweet and do all the right things. I still had to wait for her to rebuild her trust again. So that's happened many times throughout our marriage, where I had to rebuild her trust. But she's got her part in that too, right? She has to be looking and trying to rebuild her trust for me whenever I make these mistakes. And sometimes it's really fast, and sometimes it can take a while because I can do some really dumb stuff. Let's admit that now. So C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it up carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is hell." That makes a lot of sense to me. So from the forgiver's side, how do we reestablish trust? The side that's been hurt. I've got a few things listed out here, and hopefully I make some sense, and I'm going to try to be done on time. So the very first thing is that is prayer. Like, we need to be in prayer for not just ourselves. We need to be praying for our partner, for our companion, for our spouse, for the one that we went before God and friends and family and promised to love like Christ loved the church. We have to be in prayer for them. And the whole time we have to remember that our partner is that until death do us part. We're stuck in this together, so we need to work through this no matter what it is. It's a commitment of no matter what, I'm going to love this person and do my best to make this work out. Now, Jesus gave an out card, but he didn't say that we had to divorce. He just said that this is the only reason that you can divorce, not that you should or anything like that. And a lot of people want to use that out, but we need to try to work through it as best as we possibly can. Prayer is so powerful. Whenever you're praying for your spouse, whenever you're praying for them, it's going to change you. It's going to change your perspective on them. Whenever you're praying in a loving way to Jesus to help them do the things, and you're praying for yourself, it's going to allow God into you and into your life and into your spirit, as well as it is going to allow him into theirs. So we need to pray for our own hearts to be softened. If we aren't open to that trust again, then we're not going to ever arrive there. So we have to be open and vulnerable to both God and trusting him that he's going to get us through this, and also vulnerable to our companions. So that part is on us. And then the other side, the side that needs to be forgiven, we have to be praying for the change inside of ourselves, and also for our partner the same way. Just prayer over them, lovingly praying over them, for God to help them to soften their heart and open it up to you again, to where you can once again hold that vulnerable heart. So it's a tough thing. And we also, when we're going through something like that, we have to pray for patience, because, you know, I can be impatient. I want the trust back again really fast. I want for Amber to just forgive me, forget my mistake, and move on. A lot of times, I have told you guys before, I forget what happened a lot quicker than I forget that I'm not supposed to have a grudge about it anymore. So I can stay mad and not even know why she's still mad, because I guess it's an impatient thing. So we need to pray for patience to get through it for ourselves, for peace for ourselves, and patience that we're going to work through this thing, whatever the thing may be. So there's things that's going to be easy to forgive, and there's going to be things that's going to be difficult. But either way, we need to have patience and know that love has no boundaries whatsoever. Jesus loves unconditionally, and that's the way that we're to love our partner. So the next thing is to work at the problem areas. So I'm sure that you know areas that that you're not so reliable and trustworthy even without having to ask your spouse, but you might find that your husband or wife doesn't place the same level of importance on some of the things that you do. So ask your spouse where you need to work. Is it being on time? Is it keeping your word? Is it the way that you protect their heart and know how to respect their insecurities? And then put like real effort into changing, proving yourself worthy of that trust that you're trying to regain or that you're trying to give. And these areas are going to allow your spouse to trust you in them. So we need to work in these problem areas, and we need to understand. And it boils down to communication. Communication is something that we can all stand to work on. I know that I need to work on communication because I just learned that this week. So the last thing is accountability. Wait, I don't want to say last thing because no, it's not. Accountability. We have to be willing to hold accountable the other side to be accountable. So with the trash can example, if we have a problem with emptying the trash and carrying it on out there, then we shouldn't feel hovered over if our spouse is trying to watch us and make sure that we can be trusted on that. So we need to be held accountable, and the other party has to be willing to hold accountability in that area. So rebuilding trust, I believe, takes accountability from both parties, being willing to be held accountable and to hold accountable. So we need to look for reminders, or maybe getting their perspective on how to approach a situation, and to establish an atmosphere of honesty where it's safe to gently point out and where the other needs to be careful of slipping into old habits. And we also can't have secrets. We can't be hiding things, not on relationships, not emails or texts, not sweet treats you aren't supposed to have, not failures, not where you went, not anything. So for many years, I worked as a computer consultant for 11 of them. And during the 11 years, I went and fixed computers wherever I was called. A lot of times I'd have to go to people's houses and not just businesses. So I had to be careful whenever I was out fixing computers. And sometimes I would go to lunch, and I would go to lunch with some woman, and it's just going to lunch, and you don't think about those things until I would come home, and Amber would ask who I was at lunch with, and whoever, and name their name, and she's like, oh, okay, that's what I heard. Like, I had nothing to hide on anything, so I was always honest with where I was whenever I would go out and go to lunch with someone, or sometimes I would be called to people's houses. I was always being very careful whenever I'd go to people's houses that I would make sure that a husband was present if they were married, or if it was someone that was single, I would make them come to my office. So I tried to protect myself from anything like that. And like, I was just always honest. Whenever she would call and ask where I'm at, I'm here. I was trying to have nothing whatsoever to hide. And, you know, I understand why Amber would be vulnerable in that area. I mean, look at me. I'm a catch, right? So I understand. I understand what she was going through. Huh? You have to be careful. You have to protect yourself. Even in the conversations on Facebook, you have to watch that you're not giving away a piece of your heart that belongs to your spouse. Whenever you're speaking to people on Facebook or in person, you have to be careful, because relationships are built over communication. And if you're talking on Facebook to someone, and it can lead to more, because you start being vulnerable and you start giving pieces of yourself away. And so it's scary, and it happens all the time. I just read some stories about that recently, and so it can be a big mess. So the last thing, and this is something that, again, all of us need to work on, is communicating well, being open and honest. So moving forward in a healthy relationship requires proper communication. There's four simple rules that I'll read here that are easy to remember and priceless whenever applied. So we need to memorize them, and we need to teach them to the people with whom we have relations, and we'll be blessed to that. So this reminds me of something that I need to say before any of this, is that in this manual, in the Bible, God gives us everything that we need, everything that we need to know about marriage. And the biggest thing that he tells us there in Ephesians is to love our spouse the way that Christ loves the church. And whenever we look at all the ways, which we're going to be reviewing more of them over the next few weeks, if we apply the principles that God gives us for that, if we apply these things we're learning to our marriages and to our lives, it'll change our marriages. And each year we see that, and there's so much spiritual warfare. I believe this morning we saw spiritual warfare right here in the church. So it can happen anytime that you're trying to do something better for Jesus. Anytime spiritual warfare is going to come in and start attacking. So you have to be in constant prayer over this stuff. So better communication. Ephesians 4:15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So we need to be honest. We need to speak the truth in love, and remember that shouting and being loud doesn't make anything any more true. So it doesn't do us louder. Honesty is the best policy. Because if I had been out to lunch with someone, no matter how innocent being out at lunch is and eating with someone, if Amber hears from someone else, hey, I saw James eating lunch with some woman or whoever it was, and she asked me who I ate lunch with, then and I say someone different, well, that's going to cut some trust. Why is he lying to me about this? So we need to be honest about what we're doing in all things. And more than likely, if she's ever asked, I may have told her someone else, but it wasn't on purpose. And then if someone said you were at lunch, oh yeah, I know who I was at lunch with. The other one was yesterday, because I'm just forgetful. So the next thing is Ephesians 4:26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. So we need to keep current. We need to be honest, and we need to keep current. Resolve your issues today, and once they're resolved, do not bring them back up tomorrow. So some hurts, some things that are done are not going to go away right away, but we do need to deal with them. And it says not to stay in our anger. We've all heard the saying, don't go to sleep angry. That comes from this. And sometimes that is so difficult, because you're mad about something and you just want to roll over and ignore your spouse and not talk about anything. And then you go to sleep angry, and then you wake up angry, and you may not be able to deal with the problem in the morning. So then it just makes the day worse, and it ends up having this big effect. Has anybody ever been there in their marriage? No? Okay. No, nobody? Okay. Amber and I have. For sure. So we need to keep current. The next thing is to attack the problem, not the person. So let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits for occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we need to attack the problem and not the person. And that's something that I think that I probably fail at a lot. I am trying to attack the situation and try to resolve it, but it can come across as me attacking the person. So we need to take care to speak kindly to one another and avoid the absolutes, like always, never, ever. So an example is saying, you never take out the trash, when we could consider saying, it would be helpful if you take out the trash more often, or take it all the way out to the trash can. So whenever we're not careful, we say things that we're grieving the Holy Spirit, because He would never prompt us to be mean or to say things wrong that's going to upset or hurt that vulnerable heart of our spouse. And the last thing is act, don't react. Proverbs 18, I love Proverbs, all the wisdom that comes out of Proverbs. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. The lot puts an end to quarrels and decides between powerful contenders. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. So, whenever something happens, we can take action on it and act on the problem, or we can react. And most of the time, whenever I start thinking about this, is I react a lot. Amber can say something. Have you guys ever noticed that? Sorry that I chased so many rabbits. Have you guys ever noticed in your marriage relationship that someone else can say something to you, and you just, you know, either laugh it away or it's all good? But if your wife or your husband says something to you, it's a completely different reaction. Anybody? Yeah. And that's because of that vulnerable heart, right? Because they're supposed to be holding your heart and keeping it vulnerable. The other people aren't, but your spouse is supposed to be holding that heart and saying something. So immediately can trigger some kind of anger. And then we say something that we're going to regret. And I'm also one of the type that as something is coming out of my mouth, I'm saying it, and regret starts happening at that moment. And you're trying to reach out and grab all the words, but it's already too late because we mess up. So I believe that this is the most difficult thing to bear in mind whenever we're communicating, when we're trying to communicate properly. And it's easy to respond in an ungodly way whenever we're in the heat of a discussion. It's only when we take care to think about the information being presented and then slowly respond, they're able to act instead of reacting. So we need to take action on the problems and start to solve them instead of being reactive to them. And I'm terrible at that. So I've given myself a lot of things that I need to work on whenever I'm going through this. So before I end here, how did last week go with saying no mean things? Did anybody make it through the whole week? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you failed, didn't you? She didn't listen. But then we just pick back up, right? Whenever you fail, because we need to build on that. We need to continue not saying any mean things to our spouse. That's like the heart of it all. If we're saying mean things without thinking, then we're going to have a lot of regretful things that we say. So this week is to start communicating better. And I think about the communication part because that's something that I learned this week through several meetings that I need to work on at work. And whenever I start looking at some things at work, I see that I can apply the same things to my marriage and things here at the church, that I need to learn to communicate better and more efficiently and more quickly. Instead of letting things build up and getting more and more aggravated about things, I could communicate better to bring closure to things a lot faster. And so this week, on top of saying no mean things, work on the communication, work on being honest, keeping things current, like don't go to bed angry and stay that way. Attack the problem and not the person, and act, don't react. It's hard stuff. So pray through it. Pray for your spouse a lot. People that aren't married yet, be praying for your future spouse, that you can learn from these things, that you can take example from married couples that do communicate really well and do things. Because it's tough. There's a lot of things that are easy in marriage, and there's also a lot of things that are really tough, that are hard to get through. In 19 years of marriage, Amber's put up with a lot, as you guys can imagine. A lot. I have a lot of things to work on. In the last, 5, 6, 7 years, there's been a lot that I have worked on, and in a lot of ways, I've improved in a lot of areas, but I still lack in some major areas. And as I'm studying these marriage things, this one has been a different study than the one that I did more than a year ago. I see more things that I need to work on, and I see things that I was working on that I started not working on because you think that everything is good, and so then you start to get relaxed, and then you start making mistakes again. So I want to pray for you guys for this week, for the spiritual attacks that is sure to face you as you're trying to build your marriage and look to God to give you strength in your marriage, to make you have a stronger marriage, and to learn to communicate better, to learn how to forgive, to to learn these things that we need to learn so that we can build trust in our relationship, because we should be able to. It's a very vulnerable thing whenever we give our heart away, whenever we get married. So husbands, take care of your wives' hearts, and wives, take care of your husbands' hearts. It's an important thing, and it's so vulnerable. A heart is very, very vulnerable. Inside of our bodies, something small can happen that causes something. It takes a little electrical shock from a pacemaker to keep a heart going, right? So just something small can have an effect on the heart. So whenever we're holding that, hold it close, hold it tight, protect it instead of putting it in our pockets and just kind of leaving it there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come humbly before you, thankful for this day, thankful for this building that we get to come together and worship together. God, help us to always keep our lives focused on you and your will, what you would have us do. God, protect our marriages. Help us to see the changes that we need to make in our own lives to protect our marriages, to be able to give our spouse our hearts as vulnerable as what it is. Whenever we have issues, God, and there's trust is lost, help us to be patient with each other as we regain the trust of someone, as we give trust to someone. Help us to get there. God, point out things to us where we're lacking trust. Help us to communicate those things effectively and work through those things so that we can have stronger marriages. God, the marriage is so important. It's a representation to the people all around us of your relationship with your children. So help us, God. We desperately need your help to get through these things in marriage. God, we know there's spiritual battles going on all around us, and that our battles aren't flesh and blood, but they're things in the spiritual realm. We just ask that you give us protection. God, help us to wake up and put on the armor of God so that we have what it takes to go through all the fiery darts that are going to come at us each day, the things that prevent us from being able to build up trust, the things that prevent us from being able to forgive, the things that prevent us from being patient, all those fiery darts. God, if we have your armor surrounding us, then we're going to be able to make it through these things a whole lot better. So God, help us this week as we're learning to communicate better. And God, help us to be quick to forgive whenever we make mistakes, whenever we say mean words, whenever we do things that we're not supposed to do. Help us because we need it. God, I want to lift up all my friends and family, my church family that is sick today, that are struggling with different illnesses, that are struggling with different things. Help us to pour into them. Help us to be there for them in any way that we can. God, help us to reach the community of Glen Rose with your son. Help us to stand behind the cross so that people are always seeing him in us first. God, we want to be a church that is just a bright light for our community, that people see that we're not just people that are saying that we're Christian, that we're people that are living out Christ in our lives, that we are working on our marriages, that we're working on being better followers of you, being more obedient to what you would have us do. God, this world is rough, so we just need your help. Help us. Help us to accomplish everything that you have planned out for us and to do it well. The words that all of us want to hear whenever we face you, and we all know that we're going to face you someday, is well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that you went to the cross so that we could be saved. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, y'all.